You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to the Best Practices Show. My name is Kirk Barrett and I'm your host today. And I'm so pumped to have you be with us. And you're going to see, I don't really know a lot. That's why I invite my friends like Tito on here to help us with some of the challenges you have in dentistry. And so I'm so pumped to have you here on the Best Practices Show. Now, if you're a young dentist finding yourself here for the first time, because over 38,000 of you opted into the COVID conference, we had dental students there, we had young dentists opt in, and a lot of you have said, what is this? If you're finding yourself to the podcast for the first time, I want to do two things. Number one, I just want to welcome you to a community of very inviting people that we're just here to learn, just like you. We want to learn what our best practices so we can create a better practice and a better life. And there's no egos here. Just ask great questions. Number two, if you're listening on Spotify right now or Stitcher or wherever you consume podcasts, do me a favor. Just scroll down to see where that subscribe button is. Hit the subscribe button because you're going to see every single week, I'm going to bring you a brand new expert in dentistry and offer up some great things to think about. And I don't want you to miss out. So just hit the subscribe button there. Also, if you haven't joined our private Facebook group, I'm going to encourage you to go over there. It's called The Best Practices Powered by ACT Dental, where over 13,000 of you just joined during the COVID conference. And I honestly don't even know how it works. We just started it about a year ago. And it's pretty cool because people can ask questions and you can have other dentists help you with some of those questions. And you'll see it's also just a great community. And then lastly, you know, if you're just looking for great resources, things to improve your practice, join us over at actdental.com. We've got our master classes. You're going to see Dr. Tito Norris. He's got a couple classes over there. And they're just fabulous, short little snippets in which you can learn a lot from great clinicians and put them into play in your office. And then if you just need help with your practice, we're always here to listen. We're practice coaches and just point you in the right direction. Remember, dentistry is a pretty cool profession. And the coolest part about it, there's no rules. You can create whatever you want. I'm going to have Tito back for another podcast, and he's going to share with us how he gets to take 12 to 15 weeks off a vacation. I want to learn how to do that. And so you're going to see like some of these guys and gals, they're just great thinkers. And a lot of that expertise, we just want to share with you guys. And you'll find a lot of that in some of the classes and podcasts. So I want to introduce my guest today though. And Tito, I got to know you. I actually had heard about you, before I got to meet you. And then during the COVID conference, you were just one of our heroes. Now I'll say this because I had heard about you. Dr. Bill Robbins always speaks very highly of you. And then we had you on for the first time and the feed blew up because they're like, this guy's incredible. And my first thought was, I told Adriana who handles all of it, I'm like, got to get Tito back again. And so you kept showing up for us again and again and again. So there might be a lot of people listening to the podcast today that know who you are, but I always like to start with this. Who's Dr. Tito Norris? Like, what do you do? Where do you practice? Let's start there.
Well, I am Yeah, I am. I am Tito, and I practice in San Antonio, Texas. And a lot of people ask me, well, Tito, what, you know, what's that from? And let me give you a little history there. I grew up in a little town in South Texas, and I had a Hispanic nanny who, you know, my mom had five kids, and so she needed a little help. So we had a my nanny was originally from Mexico. My father was Robert, and I was little Robert, which in Spanish is Rortito. And so I just got the nickname Tito, and it stuck. So that's the history of that real quick. But yeah, I was so fortunate to have studied in San Antonio at the UT Health Science Center. And that's where I first met Bill Robbins. And it's been a long and beautiful relationship. I then went to Washington, D.C., where I did a general practice residency followed by orthodontics. And then my wife had been through medical school and Air Force scholarship. She got sent to Japan. And so I actually joined the Air Force and went to Japan together. And that's when I really started to get into interdisciplinary dentistry, because I was the only orthodontist there. And we had about 15 dentists, and we had an oral surgeon. I got to scrub in on all my, orthodontic cases. And I really became a disciple of Dr. Vince Kokich. And for those of you who know him or knew him, I think he's one of the, or maybe the best educator in orthodontics. And, he just really has influenced a lot of people, including myself. And so I really developed a passion for interdisciplinary care, just based on the readings and the teachings of really Dr. Vince Kokich. And, came back to San Antonio. The first thing I did once I landed and was to actually take Bill Robbins' course. At that time, they called it the Core Dentistry Continuum, he and Jeff Rouse. And that really helped me dive a little deeper into interdisciplinary care. So it's always, I guess, been a part of my blood from early on. And that's where I've sort of, that's where my path has taken me. Right now we're about 50% of my practice is adults and interdisciplinary care, and about 50% is kids. And that's a relatively high number. If you look, nationally, about 20% is a normal, adult portion of an orthodontist practice. So we do quite a bit there. What is it, why am I so passionate about this? Well, there's so many ways that we can help people by providing interdisciplinary care. It starts with the face, and it even starts with the airway. Once again, thanks to Jeff Rouse and his basically opening our eyes on these airway topics, we've really kind of changed the way that we look at patients. We're doing a CPCT on every patient, doing a minimal axial airway analysis on every single patient. We're doing a Sherbine sleep questionnaire on every patient. And if something pops up, we'll send them home with a home sleep study, or we'll make the appropriate referral. We look at nasal airway constriction versus pharyngeal airway constriction. And then that's part of the master class I gave. And that is, kind of how do you incorporate airway into your practice? If those want to learn a little more about that specific aspect of interdisciplinary care, feel free to go back and look at that master class program that I gave a while back on the ACT program.
So I was going to ask you, you and I, we're going to cover a lot today. And, before we went live, you said, there's a lot of communication challenges that often specialists have with restorative dentists, and I hear it on the other side too. Like, oh man, I wish, it's the communication aspect. It's also, the technical aspect of it. And so why is this form meets function conversation so important in dentistry and interdisciplinary care? When you look at the global aspect of it and where dentistry's at today.
Absolutely. Well, one of the most challenging situations is, you've got a patient that's in treatment as an orthodontist. You think you've got the teeth about where, they belong. And then, sometimes you'll send them back to the dentist. I'll say, no, I really need this much space here. Or can you treat this just a little bit more? They come back to you to do that. And then there's just all this back and forth, which is very inefficient. And so something that I picked up a long time ago is, whenever possible, try to get your gingival margins placed, you know, at your correct positions in relationship to the CEJ first. In other words, if the patient's going to need some crown lengthening, do it on the front end, okay? Because as an orthodontist, we need one of two things. We either need an accurate CEJ, or we need an accurate incisal edge. And if we can have both, then hallelujah, all right? So a lot of patients, a lot of adults have worn teeth, and a lot of adults also have ultrapassive eruption. And so, you know, if we can get the gingival margins established first, then the next step is actually, in many cases, if teeth have wear on them, we would much prefer, and this is critical, to do pre-orthodontic bonding. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that I want the teeth to be restored provisionally to their natural shapes and forms that they used to be when the patient was a teenager. Right. Okay. And you're like, but Tito, how am I going to do that? The occlusion is not going to allow that. It's like, don't worry about the occlusion. That's my job. Okay. Your job is as a restorative dentist is simply to restore those teeth and give me back a teenager's looking teeth. Okay. So if I've got 28 virgin looking teeth with accurate incisal edges and occlusal, surfaces. Well, now that really makes the anatomy is perfect. And I can move those teeth and straighten them up, get them coupled. And when they're returned back to you, basically they've got the perfect bite, the perfect smile, the gingival margins are perfect. And it takes all the guesswork out of the thing. And then you, as a restorative dentist, would then take those provisionals off and, you know, restore them with the final restorations.
Right. Now go back to this though, because I completely agree with you. You know, when you're looking for the CEJ and the incisal edge position, and I feel for you, I would actually be nervous being the orthodontist for Bill Robbins. Like I'm like, cause you and I have so much mutual respect for him, and he's excellent all the way around, and you guys have learned together. Tito, you talk to a lot of dentists. Why is this so difficult? The CEJ and the incisal position conversation in dentistry, is it a time issue? Is it a competency issue? What do you think?
I think it's a number of things, Kirk. So one, the number one area of pushback that I get is that as a dentist, think that the patients are going to immediately break off these provisionals. Okay, especially if they're done in composite, and so what we have to do is just try to reassure the patients, with a long history of many examples. That as soon as they get those provisionals done, they're going to come straight to our office. We're going to put them in orthodontic appliances, and we're going to put on some protective disclusion devices. All right. And we're going to call these bite turbos. And so, you know, they're going to be discluded anteriorly most of the time. And, whenever you can disclude people anteriorly, they're really, it takes a lot of the pressure or the magnitude of force out of their bite. If they're only really, you know, kind of touching on their anterior teeth first, they don't feel like they want to, like, you know, bite down and crush everything, because there's a proprioceptive mechanism on the anterior teeth, which really don't allow you to do that. And so, so the other thing that this does, I mean, think about this in a patient who has wear, all right. And this is a very, very common thing that we see with adults, like almost many adults have wear. Right. So if I've got to attack this from an orthodontic standpoint, what you're asking me to do is just to intrude the teeth. Okay. In other words, and that's one of the most challenging things that we do in orthodontics is to push the teeth back up into the bone. Right. So when you do it the way that I'm talking about this, with this pre-orthodontic bonding, well, it's no longer pure intrusion. It's a combination of, yes, you get some intrusion of the anterior teeth, but you also get quite a bit of extrusion of like the premolars and molars back into occlusion here. All right. So what's the easiest direction of tooth movement that we do in orthodontics? It's actually extrusion, right? So now we're able to utilize a combination of intrusion of the anterior plus extrusion of the posterior teeth to develop, you know, this new occlusion. And it can happen lightning fast. And especially when you combine it with things such as PAOO, periodontally assisted orthodontic treatment, or otherwise known as SFOT, surgically facilitated orthodontic treatment, you know, also known as Wilcodonics, right? So this is something that we use very commonly in our practice. Another thing that we can do to kind of help speed things up is something called MOPS. That's micro osseous perforations. And so we do that routinely in our practices as well.
Now, can you go back to this, because I totally love this. Now, I'll take the vantage point of I'm a 32-year-old orthodontist. Tito, this is brilliant. Yep. Okay, walk me through. I can't even get my brain around how an appointment would look like. Like, for if you're going to do pre-orthodontic bonding, walk me through what does that look like? Like, is that's typically going to be the, now you said before we went live, like, it's not sometimes. I mean, you're doing that on all your cases. And then let me couple that with another question, because I don't know the answer. I get how much aligner are you doing compared to, and you created your own bracket system. So I just want to get my brain around how this even works in a first appointment with you. How does that typically work?
Well, I mean, of course, our first appointment is the new patient examination, right? And that's for the data collection. And when we sit down, we give the patient a treatment plan and so forth, right? But then the appointment after that, in the wear patient specifically, our next appointment is going to be, you know, with the restorative dentist. Well, and okay, if they've got altered passive eruption, the next appointment is going to be for them to you know, get that corrected. Now, if indeed they are interested in doing SFOT, well, then it's ideal to go ahead and do the correction of the altered passive eruption and the SFOT in the same procedure. Okay, so that's just the most efficient way to go. And then from there, whether the restorative dentist does that or whether a periodontist does that, they're going to go to the restorative dentist, and that's when the provisionals are placed. And then they're going to come directly from their office to my office, and we're going to place the brackets on the teeth. And so, and Kurt, you mentioned that, you know, we develop our own bracket system, and let me give you a quick history on that. So, you know, I started in orthodontics in 1988. Okay. I started as an orthodontic assistant, and I came from a mechanical engineering background. All right. That's what I studied in undergrad. So, you know, within just a short period of time working in this orthodontist practice, I understood that the bracket size, right, the bracket slot that actually holds the wire, that slot was 22 thousandths of an inch in height. Okay. So that's a standard slot that's always been that way since Edward Engel, you know, created the Edgewise system over 150 years ago. Right. So I was, I asked the orthodontist that I was working for, well, you know, where is the O21 wire that's going to fit in that O22 slot, right? Because, I mean, just like if you had a 21 millimeter nut, you wouldn't go, you know, searching for a 25 millimeter wrench, right? You'd want to have a wrench that fits the nut, right? Yeah. And the orthodontist said, well, you know, we don't use that 21 dimension wire. And I said, well, why not? And they said, well, it's too big. It's too heavy. It's going to break brackets. It's going to burn roots, get root resorption. It's going to hurt the patient. There's too much pain. You know, we prefer to use a lighter wire. And I said, well, that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. You know, why is it that we've got this big slot and yet we're not using the full size wire? Why don't we just have a bracket that has a slightly smaller slot, you know, and then that way we can use the wires that we like to use. And the most popular finishing wire out there is a 19 by 25. But the important part is that it's a 19 thousandths of an inch in height. So it became apparent to me at a very early time that we needed a bracket slot dimension that was 020. Okay. Something that would allow an 019 wire to fit in there and then have really great intimate contact. And that's going to give you more control. And it just wasn't available. And, you know, why wasn't it available? I mean, I just didn't understand this. And the answer I got was, well, it's just tradition. It's just the way it's always been.
It's just the way we've always
been. And I was like, yeah. And it's like, this is ridiculous. You know, it's like, all right. I mean, no one can give me a good reason as to why we don't have an O2O bracket slot. So I'm actually just going to make one. And so I did. I actually created an O2O bracket slot size, and it's called the Norris 2026 system. And basically, it's the it's the first bracket system out here that actually uses a bracket slot that fits our wires intimately. And this is what allows us to get more just better control of the teeth, and it's more efficient, especially in the finishing stages where you really are doing those little micro movements. And the analogy I give, it's kind of like, my grandfather had an old farm truck, right? And I used to love to go out on his farm and drive that truck, but it was fun because it had all the slack in the steering wheel, right? And so you'd be driving it through the mud and slipping and sliding and stuff like that. Well, I mean, that's like an 022 slot bracket. So you have all the slack in the steering wheel, right? Well, now with this 020 slot system, now it's like driving my Tesla, it's like a Formula One car.
Can I ask you, so when you developed this, did it go back to what the challenges were that most people would say would be a challenge with this? Did you have pain with the patients? Was it challenging on the roots? Did you find that not to be true at all?
I didn't really have any naysayers to the new bracket system. The challenges I had to the previous bracket system was we were using an 019 wire in an 022 slot. Right. So we had sloppiness in there. And so, it was just difficult to finish the case because, you'd have to put in enough torque in the wire to sort of overcome the sloppiness. And then it would start to engage. And then it was always a guessing game. Right. And so, you'd guess a little too much and then you'd guess a little too little. And so there was just all the slop and play and too much tolerance, basically, between the bracket and wire interplay. And that's what made finishing the cases challenging.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is great. And then, take us through after pre-orthodontic bonding. So, once you get through that particular phase, I mean, you do an excellent job of communicating with your restorative dentist. I don't always hear that elsewhere. Now, I'm also going to give you an extra kudos. And I don't know if Bill will love this, but he always talks about the orthodontic partner being probably one of the most important people. And I also think you guys, specifically orthodontists that understand airway, I mean, you're most positioned to change the world in dentistry. Dentistry is an incredible profession. It also offers the opportunity that, I mean, as people age and now that we know about airway, this piece of being an orthodontist is so critical. And I tell specialists all the time, like, become valuable, get to know this stuff. And then people will come find you all the time. So I guess my question is, take me through the rest of the thinking. So when we talk about form meets function and we're going through the pre-orthodontic bonding, what's the middle of the case look like, the end of the case, and then later on in the case?
Well, let me just say one more thing about this pre-orthodontic bonding, because essentially what you've done when you subscribe to restoring the teeth to their natural shapes, okay, what you've done is you've created a three-dimensional blueprint for communication between the orthodontist and the restorative dentist. Okay. So that they're you've taken all the guesswork out of the communication. Because what you've done is you've told that orthodontist, I want these teeth exactly this long, I want these teeth exactly this wide, and I want you to take these teeth and couple them together. And so that in and of itself is incredibly valuable. Because there's just it eliminates that back and forth, and is this enough? Is this too much? Do you want this here? Do you want this there? Because if the teeth are in their natural anatomy and the CEJs are correct in relationship to the gingival margins, you have a three-dimensional blueprint for communication, and so all the orthodontist then has to do is to treat the case as if it were a teenager with 28 virgin teeth, and give you back a perfectly treated case. Now, I mean, speaking to the other things, sure, the airway, obviously, we want to have a lot of tools in our tool belt. We want to be able to expand maxillas on adults, and so I think as an orthodontist, it's important to go and get some training on how to do that. Using the MSC appliance or the MARPI. How do we combine that with like the dome procedure in adults that are too old to do this with a MARPI only? How do we place implants to correct, maxillary cants one way or the other, or to correct open bites, or to correct gummy smiles, right? I mean, all of these things, as a restorative dentist, and I'm going to quote Bill Robbins on this. As a restorative dentist, you cannot do sophisticated dentistry by accepting the landscape that the patient has when they first walk in. You've got to be willing to change that landscape, whether it's broadening the smile, whether it's leveling your gingival margins, whether it's correcting your open bite, correcting your deep bite, whether it's correcting your gummy smile, whatever, correcting your cants. And there's so many different things that we can change as orthodontists to change the landscape. And most of those things are helping the airway as well. So, and that's one thing I forgot to mention. In addition to the bracket system that we develop, we also develop some what we call airway friendly arch wires. So these are really broad arch wires that help to broaden these arches, give more room for the tongue, and get the tongue up out of the the pharyngeal airway and up into the mouth. And help open up the pharyngeal airway. And sometimes we have to combine that with some myofunctional therapy.
Yeah.
And we offer are utilizing Bill Robbins' wife, Britta, as our myofunctional therapist. And she does this remotely, which is kind of cool because really the patient could be anywhere and do that.
It's very cool. Now, I'm not an orthodontist. And as you're describing this, Tito, it's brilliant because what you're doing is you're like reverse engineering this, especially with pre-orthodontic bonding. I'm going through my third, Kate time through ortho, and I'm 51, obviously. And, the first one we did extrusion, then intrusion, now the prosthodontist. And I'm thinking, gosh, if we would have done pre-orthodontic bonding, like they're going to put that right in the exact neighborhood from the get-go. What percentage of orthodontists think like this nationally? If you had to guess, I mean, do you have this conversation a lot with orthodontists or not?
I would say very few, honestly, because, the thing is, this is something that I got from Vince Kokich, and he developed like in the 70s, right? And so unless you read his articles and were a student of his or a disciple of his, the thought might not come to you. And quite frankly, Even though I was passionate about it, it took me years to convince the dentists that I work with a lot, including the one who's a good friend of yours and mine. Okay. I mean, it took years of some, gentle hand holding or arm twisting or whatever you want to call it to finally, get restorative dentist to understand the value of because it's a little extra work for them on the front end in terms of doing these provisionals and, hey, charge for it. I mean, you charge for your time and,
for sure.
You've got to make a living out of this thing. And so, but the thing is, once people subscribe to it, there's really no turning back. I mean, it's by far a superior way to treat patients.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
When we talk about the magic of interdisciplinary dentistry, you point this out. I'm a big fan of it. You are obviously the community that listens. And, you point to communication challenges. I mean, everybody's got communication challenges in their families, at work, with employees. Can you imagine, when you have a restorative dentist and an orthodontist both trying to communicate on a moving target, this is a huge thing. And I'd love for you just to add some things that you've learned for sure when it comes to creating a great relationship with your restorative partner. Anything else that you would say to a young dentist listening? Because communication is a huge problem.
It is. So first of all, there's a deficit in the world of interdisciplinary dentistry in that we don't yet have a HIPAA compliant cloud-based EMR, electronic medical record. Okay, where we can all share like this, like a common chart on a patient, and we can all put our notes there, we can put our images there, and CareStream is actually working on it, and they just released an early version. It's called ICC, interdisciplinary communication, something. We're actually kind of beta testing that right now, and it shows some promise, but it still needs some work. But it's just, you know, here we are, 2021, and we still don't have this thing. But I think that's the direction things are going in the future, and that's going to really help the communications. But the advice I would give to a younger dentist is that, you know, if you do have an orthodontist that you enjoy working with, be willing to carve out a little time in your schedule to, you know, go over to their office, you know, maybe after work or during lunch or something like that, and really, you know, sit down and look at these images together with the doctor. You know, talk about the cases, just throw about ideas. There's another way we can look at this thing, and just having that one-on-one time. You know, the dentist that we work with, I mean, Bill Robbins is probably in my office every other week. You know, at least two or three times a month, you know, we sit down and actually, you know, go over these cases personally. And you've got to, if you're going to dive into this realm of sophisticated dentistry, that's one of the things you're going to have to do, is to be willing to, you know, spend that time with your specialists to really, you know, understand them, what they can do, what they can't do, and how they can best help you. Yeah. And understand, you know, how deep is their bag of tricks? You know, right. What, I mean, do they, you know, do they do their own TADs, you know, or do they, you know, need to farm those out? You know, can they? I mean, there's a lot of things that we do as orthodontic specialists that maybe, well, yeah. Let's just say all orthodontists don't have the same bag of tricks. Let's just put
they
it that
don't.
Way.
They okay. don't. I totally agree. So, from your perspective, what's the one thing young orthodontists get wrong early in their career? You know, I always tell kids, like, I've made more mistakes than anyone, and you know, you've been transparent about that. But if a young orthodontist is listening, what's the number one thing you hear most commonly they get wrong, or that even you got wrong early on in your career?
Yeah. Well, I think you've got to find a way to differentiate yourself, right? And for me, that was by really going and educating myself, and be willing to invest in yourself, to keep raising the bar and keep learning more and more. You know, because listen, we all came out of orthodontic residency with basically a union card, right? I mean, that's just kind of a license to practice orthodontics, but you know, it's at a pretty basic level, right? I mean, most of what I've learned after residency and by going and taking the whole John Coyce series of courses, okay, on restorative dentistry, and have a deeper understanding of you know, what are the needs of the restorative dentist. You know, going and taking the core course, core curriculum with Robbins and Rouse. Going to the Spear Center and listening to Greg Kinzer, you know, and so you've got to be willing to make those investments in yourself to help differentiate yourself, you know, from just all the other run of the mill orthodontists out there, because there is a need, you know, for skilled, talented orthodontists who can help tackle these really challenging interdisciplinary cases. And so I think that would be my number one word of advice is be willing to, and it's not inexpensive to do this. Okay. I mean, it's definitely an investment, but it's a commitment. But be willing to invest in yourself to bring your skill level, you know, up to that next year. And I got to, you know, while I'm at it, put in a little plug here. I'm actually giving a course, well, by the time this podcast is published, the course will already have gone, but I'm typically doing this course twice a year. The next one is this coming Saturday, April 9th and 10th, and there'll be another one in the fall. And it's called the Norris Experience. Okay. So it's 2 days of really deep, intensive learning about my racket system, as well as interdisciplinary care. And if anyone's interested in learning more about either the Racket system or the course, they can just simply go to dynaflex.com.
Yeah.
And then, it will be the first thing that pops up right there. You can click on the Norris Racket system or the Norris experience, but it's all available through dynaflex.com. And it's also a great resource. You know, we have a number of webinars that we've done there, and these are all complimentary, as well as a great place as an educational resource as well. You can sign up and receive these complimentary educational webinars.
Yeah, I'm going to encourage you, if you're listening, check it out. Now, by the time we publish this, because our writers do this, if you want to just go right to the link, you can just swipe up to the show notes and you'll see there'll be a link right to the Dynaflex website, and you can check that out. And then Tito, you'll probably let us know when the next course will be in the fall, but absolutely sure. Check it out. Now, I wish I could keep you for like 2 more hours, but I know you're on your time. I want to know, like, and it's anyone's guess, you're very passionate about, you know, restorative and interdisciplinary dentistry, also the development of product side. What's the future look like in orthodontic, or in, like, it's anyone's guess, but what can we expect to see in the next 5-10 years in interdisciplinary care?
I think that's a great question. And I mean, there's no doubt that we're going to be leveraging digital technology in all areas of our practice, right? So, you know, more scanning, more customized appliances, I actually had dinner with Stanley Liu last night, and he was talking about, the development of this endoscopic dome procedure, which is CBCT guided, you know, through. And so, I mean, this is just kind of like mind blowing stuff. So less and less invasive procedures to accelerate treatment. And I think one of the biggest hurdles that adults have with orthodontic treatment is the fact that, you know, historically they've always been told, like, okay, orthodontic treatment, you're in the 2-year penalty box, right? And I think that's perhaps one of the reasons why restorative dentists don't do that. It's like, man, I'd like to finish this case, but gosh, if I go through ortho, we're looking at 2 years, right? Well, it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, we've got so many other ways to increase efficiency, right? And once again, that just appeals to my engineering brain, this increased efficiency by using efficient appliances, by using, digital appliances to our benefit. And being willing to switch from, maybe we use some brackets right out of the box, and maybe we switch them over into aligners to finish out their treatment. So there's all different kinds of hybrid treatments, combination treatments, so many things that we talked about before, acceleratory treatments. I think really, gosh, it's the world is your oyster if you're willing to kind of grab the bull by the horns and educate yourselves as to, all these different possibilities out here to provide, great care in a very reasonable amount of time.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. I absolutely love it. So Tito, any last thoughts you have just on, form meets function, interdisciplinary, the magic of it. Any last thoughts as we get ready to close here?
Well, I'm going to give a little teaser out here for our next conversation. And that is, this talk is coming to you from Lake Tahoe, where I'm, I've just spent a fantastic week on vacation with my wife. And this is the 6th week of vacation that I've had in 2021.
Okay, so it's right now, it's the first week of April. Yeah. Okay, so the next podcast that will build a lot of curiosity for is, how the heck do we do what Tito does? Like, I want to learn, how do you do that? So, and you'll find, if you're listening, like, your favorite educators, your favorite people you find, they just think differently. And Tito, you are a great example of that. You don't think like everybody else, and improving the quality of our thinking, taking the investment to go to the core courses or to learn from John Coyce, that's an incredible investment. And it's paying off for you in a big way. So, buddy, I'm so grateful to have you on there. One last thing, for the benefit of people listening on iTunes, or they might be driving, tell us a little bit more about your bracket system and where I can find out more. We pointed to it earlier, but just you know, point us to it again.
Absolutely. So it's called the Neuris 2026 system, and it's a system of brackets and wires, and it can, it's sold by Dynaflex, and it's just dynaflex.com. And as soon as you go to dynaflex.com, we're the first kind of, you know, button that you'll see when it pops up there, and you just click on the Neuris system, and it'll take you to, like I said, all those educational webinars. It'll have information about the bracket placement, you know, just tons of information on that landing page. And it'll also have educational opportunities, you know, the Neuris in-office course, the Neuris Experience, which we host in San Antonio, which is kind of a really cool weekend because you get the flavor of San Antonio. It's all inclusive. Okay. So from the moment you land in San Antonio, you don't touch your wallet again. Take care of your hotel room. We take care of all your meals. We have a sunset dinner cruise on my houseboat. It's really a spectacular weekend of learning with your colleagues. And once again, these are for orthodontic specialists. So it's really is kind of a cool experience.
Yeah, heck, I want to go. So awesome, buddy. I appreciate you being on. And so thank you so much. And again, check out the next episode that we're going to do with Tito here coming up on the work-life balance thing. But Tito, stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. If you enjoyed today, which I know you did, just do us a favor, hit the share button, share with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you want to hear from Tito or anyone else. We're aligning them all now in 2021. And until we see you guys next time, or you guys hear from us next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.